The title of the sermon is Getting Excited with a Question Mark. Are we getting excited? And this week helped me get excited quite a bit. I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed all the snow that we got. I love hearing the stories of people, you know, and their adventures in the snow. I like sometimes not being able to go outside just because it forces you to relax, except when two little boys are inside, you know how that goes. But I my theory was always, if it's going to snow, man, let it snow. None of this two-inch drizzle, get the ground all mushy sort of stuff that we get every spring around Easter that you're just tired of it. Bring on the snow, and I thought it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a neat storm from my perspective, probably because I was inside, I was warm, and I didn't have to really move any of the snow after it had gone, just a couple feet in front of my doors and the doors here at the church. I wanted to ask you, what happens to little boys when they've been trapped inside for 2 or 3 days? Not necessarily just trapped inside, because sometimes they stay inside, even if they can go outside, but it seems like if they can't go outside, if it's not a possibility, something happens. What happens to those little boys? They drive their mother crazy. They go crazy. Isn't that right? Has anybody else ever experienced that? Oh, there you go, Jolene. Yeah, kids go crazy when they can't go outside. Or are you talking about Andy?
Oh, that too.
Okay, he's the instigator. Yeah, they go crazy. For those 2 or 3 days, Tyler and Jaren ran around the house just being completely ornery. And you see Jaren's got this sweet little face. Yeah. He is a ringleader. I'll tell you what, that little guy is an instigator, gets his big brother in trouble. Yeah, it's fun. And Tyler, the whole time, kept asking if he could go out in the blizzard. Oh, Dad, the wind doesn't look that bad. Let's go outside. It's not that cold. Let's go outside and play. And just if you guys have ever seen Tyler get excited, he rubs his hands together. It's not like this. It's this. But he rubs them together. Aunt Ann's doing it. He wrings his hands, and he's done it his whole life. And he used to do it when he was really stressed out or something. He did it a lot when we moved, and he did it a lot after we moved. And he's really done it his whole life, but it's really been really strong the last year and a half. Well, now he's rubbing his hands, and if you ask him why he's rubbing his hands, he'll tell you he's excited. He says, "Well, I'm just so excited." And now he's getting older. He thinks a little bit more. He knows how to work Mom and Dad a little bit. And so when we say, you need to calm down, he says, but it's just so hard. It's because he knows that you're going to ask, what's so hard, buddy? He says, I'm just so excited for Christmas. I'm going to Grandma Susie's and opening my presents and going to Ohio. And he'll go on about it, and then it kind of melts your heart a little bit. But he knows what he's doing because he gets this smile on his face. He's like, so excited for Christmas. That's my excuse, and you can't stop it. But through Tyler this week, I began to realize what it means to truly be excited to the point of not being able to control yourself. And it got me thinking when I was sitting in my office, when was it that I lost my excitement? When was it the last time that I was that excited? When did I start sleeping good on Christmas Eve? When did I start sleeping in on Christmas morning? Because you know, when you're kids, Lucas and I would be in our room, and our room was the warm room, and we had two beds and our little lamps, and about 5:30, the girls would come into the rooms. Now, you know, that night before, when you're trying to go to sleep, you can't get to sleep for the life of you. You know, it may be 1 o'clock in the morning, you're still not asleep. And then 5:30 comes, and we're awake, and the girls come in, and we all go into Mom and Dad's room and say, can we go downstairs yet? No, go back to bed. You can't go downstairs until 7 o'clock. Like, 7 o'clock? That's like 2.5 hours. Just go lay in your bed real still and you'll go to sleep. How many have told your kids that line? When you're a kid, you know that that line does not work. So we'd go back and we'd lay in our beds and we'd read our books. And yeah, we'd keep making noise and laughing and giggling. And we'd hear Mom yell from the bedroom, kids, be quiet! And so finally at 6 o'clock, she'd come and say, okay, you can go downstairs. And we go downstairs, and when did that stop for me? When did this holiday stop taking so long to get here and start coming up so fast that I'm not prepared when it comes? I've been out shopping on Christmas Eve because you realized, oh, Christmas is tomorrow. I got to go get some stuff. There's not a lot of stuff to get on Christmas Eve. There's not a lot to choose from. But not that, not just that, but when have I stopped becoming prepared in my heart when the season comes along? I can remember this one Christmas when it was especially hard. I bet Lucas remembers this too, but we had some freezing rain, and we were in middle school. I think I was in eighth grade, which Lucas would have been in sixth grade, and we had some freezing rain, and you know in high school, you don't get a lot of vacation time. You know, I think that year we got 9 days because Christmas fell on like a Monday, so we got a whole weekend to start it off instead of just the day before Christmas Eve. And so we had freezing rain, and so we got to come home early, so we were trapped in the house for a few extra days, counting out the presents and putting them back under the tree, and we got to water the tree, we got to pull them all out again and shake them as we pull them out. And so we're running around the house, and we're being ornery and breaking stuff and going crazy because we don't know what to do with ourselves. And Mom's in the kitchen making stuff. And you know old farmhouses, the floors, they shake. So no matter where you're going upstairs, they hear you running. And you're like, how do they know we're roughhousing around? Because the ceiling is shaking. And so Mom, out in the kitchen, she knows, she has this thing that she used to do to get us to stop. She doesn't do it anymore. She'd have her hands full and she'd stomp the floor. Get our attention. Boys! Get your coveralls on. You're going outside. I'm like, but Mom, it's like 20 below. We're not supposed to go outside. I don't care. Get your coveralls on. Go out to the barn. You're going to split some wood until you can come back in and be calm. And so we'd put on our coveralls and our boots, and we'd trek out to the barn out in the wind and the freezing rain, and we'd pull out the wood, and we had a splitting axe that was we weren't big enough to really use, and we had a sledgehammer, some wedges, and we'd split wood by hand. And we'd do that for a few hours till we had a little pile, and we felt pretty good about it, and we'd go back inside. Start the cycle over again until Mom kicked us back outside. We go split more wood. Back then, I was so excited I couldn't contain myself, and now it seems that I don't even take enough time to get excited for Christmas. I do so much things, get so busy with so many things that the holiday just comes up upon me and I don't even think about it. And Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80 is a very exciting part in the chapter, especially if you're a father. Because it talks about Zacharias, for the most part, and about him being a father and a servant of the Lord. And I was just thinking, Zachariah must have been so completely excited at this time in his life. Let's read verses 57 through 66. Now, this is the birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to do to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the whole hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Now, Elizabeth has had her baby, and I'm thinking, how many people were thinking in their minds, how is this old woman supposed to have a child? Okay, so she got pregnant. That's some sort of fluke. But to carry the baby and then be able to deliver the baby, you know, she's old. You let her have her joy for a time, but I'm really concerned because when it comes time for that baby to be born, it's a good possibility that they're going to lose both of them. I'm thinking a lot of people were probably thinking about that because that's a lot of work to have a baby. I don't know if for experience, but I've been there twice. I know it's a lot of work. So the verse 58 is really a testimony to the glory of God to her neighbors and her relatives because they see that the mercy of the Lord has been upon her because of this baby, and now they're sharing in her joy. Now, as those who serve the Lord on the eighth day after your baby is born, it's customary to take him and have him circumcised at the temple, and you can read more about that in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3. It kind of teaches about that. And All the relatives are there, and this is the day where you announce the name of the baby. It's a big day for the dad. Probably the mom too, but I think we talked about last week how important that name is for the guy back in those times. This is an important day. Now the relatives, they either suggest or they just assume that his name's going to be Zachariah because they don't have any other children, and you need to pass down the father's name in the lineage. It's very important to at least have a name in your family somewhere. And so Elizabeth says, well, we're going to name him John. No, not Zachariah, but John. And the people are like, what are you talking about? There's no John in your family tree. There's no John in your lineage. So then they ask Zachariah, what do you think? And so Zachariah pulls out his writing tablet, and he tells them that we're going to be naming him John. Now, Gabriel had given Zechariah this specific instruction, and now Zechariah has followed through. Now, here it is in the scriptures that we find out that Zechariah is still dumb. As they say, he's mute. He can't talk at this point. And the first we find this out because the relatives asked Elizabeth what his name is going to be. Typically, you would ask the man because he's the father. That's his right to name the child. But they ask Elizabeth because apparently he still can't talk. And at this point, Elizabeth's like, hey, praise the Lord, this might go on forever. And she says John, so they try to convince her otherwise. And that's when they turn to Zechariah and he asks for the tablet and he writes what Gabriel told him to. I was wondering, what was Zechariah thinking up to this point? Because we know that the angel told him that you'll be able to talk when all of these things come to their fruition, come to completion. Okay, Elizabeth got pregnant. He still couldn't talk. Okay, I guess I'll be able to talk once the baby is born. The baby is born, and he still can't talk. It's 8 days later. What's this poor guy thinking? I still can't talk. But then it was when he said that he would give up his name for the child, his lineage, and say, we'll name him John, what the angel told him to. It just showed that he absolutely believed that this child was a gift from God, and this child did have that specific job to be the herald of Christ, which the angel said he would be. And at that point, it had pretty much, all of that little doubt that Zechariah had when the angel first confronted him, proven that it was gone. And his tongue was loosed, it says, and now he can talk. Now this is what really got me going. Do we understand how excited Zechariah must have been during these times and to not be able to talk? Are there wives, are your husbands able to be quiet when they're excited? Do they keep their mouths shut? Now, Zechariah is old, and he has served God faithfully through his whole life and never had a child. And now all of these years go by, and finally he gets to go in the temple, and first he's a God-serving man, so wouldn't you think it would be super exciting for him to be in the presence of an angel? To be in the presence of the heavenly host? How excited must he have been? And then it's his lifelong dreams are finally being met, and all of a sudden he can't talk. He is in the presence of God. He's desired his whole life for a child, and now he finally gets the child. And he's been praying his whole life for the long-awaited Messiah, being in the temple, praying, working for God. All of a sudden, he's going to get to have a child. He gets to be in the presence of a heavenly host, and the Messiah is coming, and his son gets to be the herald of the Messiah who gets to come. His son! He's thinking, my boy gets to announce Christ is coming. You think the man might be excited? I would be super excited. What do you think that he's going to do after 10 months of going through this and not be able to talk as soon as his tongue is loose? What do you think is going to come out of his mouth? Do you think he's going to be excited and praise the Lord a little bit? Well, I think so. And he praises God. And we continue on in verse 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us, and in Greek, horn means Messiah or deliverer. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. That's pretty powerful right there, that this Messiah is going to rescue them from their enemies, from their spiritual oppression, so that they can finally serve God the way that they are meant to. Serving him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now this is what really got me. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Now how can a father say those words without crying? I don't know. When you hold your child and you're just so proud and you love that child so much and you get to know that he's chosen for this beautiful, wonderful privilege to serve the Messiah. Thinking, how can Zacharias say those words and not become emotional? You know he's excited, but boy, at that time I would be in tears. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And it goes on to say, and the child grew and became strong in spirit and lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. I don't know about you guys, but me being able to talk after all that, I'd be jumping up and down and running around. It's like being cooped up inside and not being able to go. He's got all of this stuff that he wants to say, and all of these emotions, and all of this excitement is building, and he can finally talk, and now it just all comes out. I bet the guy was crazy. I bet people thought he was crazy. Man, are we excited for Christmas? I'm getting excited for Christmas now. The more I learn about this, the more I'm getting excited for Christmas, thinking about the excitement that this father had, because the gift, so many times I think we lose sight that the gift that we were given 2,000 years ago is still standing right beside me up here this morning, and he's sitting beside each and every one of you in the pews this morning. Jesus Christ did not just come 2,000 years ago to only come back in the future. He's here and he's present right now. Now we can all learn from our children about the raw and beautiful excitement when you're truly excited about things and not being able to really control yourself. This week we really seek within ourselves those same emotions that God desires of us. Christmas is not just a tradition that we do to celebrate Christ. It's a birthday. It's a birthday party. What do we do for our kids on their birthday parties? Don't we get really excited? Forget the tradition. Every year Jesus Christ should mean something new to you in your heart as you grow. Every year you have something new to celebrate in your heart at Christmas because of the birth of Christ. Seek those out. Don't let that excitement get lost today, and don't let it get lost tomorrow. Don't wait for Jesus to come back to be excited. Don't be excited just because he was born back in the past, but be excited because he is here right now and he's given to you right now in your hearts. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you have given us such a wonderful gift that keeps on going. Jesus Christ, who lives with us, who is present here today, and we thank you so much for him. As we approach his birthday, Father God, I pray that we would search out in our hearts all the ways that we have seen Jesus work in our lives this past year and be thankful for that. Thankful for his present risenness in our lives. So that we may have that excitement that is just so wonderful. So we may be undignified and unable to control ourselves because we are so excited, like a father holding his newborn child. Bless our hearts during this season, Father God. for the birth of your son. Amen.